Baby. It is 6 p.m. on Monday, December 16th, 2019. I'd like to call the Village of Alloway Plan Commission meeting to order. We'll begin with roll call. Kowalczyk Adrians?
Here.
Dart?
Here.
Norvalli is here. Kornowski?
Here.
Rupp?
Here.
Nyberg?
Here.
Okay. Item number two, modify, adopt the agenda. Are there any modifications to the agenda? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Item number three, minutes from November 18th, 2019.
Move to approve.
Is there a second? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Item number four, announcements. Nobody?
I have an announcement. So I probably haven't told you guys this, but my wife is pregnant again with our third child, and we have a 3- and a 2-year-old at home. So we've mutually agreed that it's probably best for me to step back from some of my night obligations. So I've submitted my resignation today from the Plan Commission and the Board of Appeals. But it's been a pleasure working with all of you, and it's great to see, you know, this type of board in our community and the talent that's on it, making the decisions for the community. So thank you for your commitment and volunteerism. I appreciate it as a resident.
Plan on coming back in a couple of years?
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, kind of long
yeah, we'll see how it all turns out. It's kind of a tight grouping, so.
Maybe more than a couple.
Yeah, we'll see.
Thank you. All right. Item number five, public appearances. The public appearances section of the agenda is authorized by Wisconsin Statute 19.84 and allows members of the public the opportunity to bring items forth not specifically listed on the agenda. The committee shall not take action on matters raised during the public comment period if the subject was not on the agenda. So if anyone wants to come forward and speak, just come to the podium and state your name and address. If you're here for another item, we will give you time when we're on that item to speak also.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue, the former co-chairman of the Village Alloway Vice Ped Committee. The Public Works Committee announced that they are canceling the sidewalk that was planned for St. Mary Street for the next session and may get built at some point in the future, but it's not going to be built in with the reconstruction of St. Mary Street. So that impacts the 9-unit apartment buildings that you're going to be talking about a little bit later. So I just wanted to make sure that both on the apartment building on 3241 Riverside and also on the commercial development on Derby and Webster, that sidewalks for the neighborhood make the neighborhoods more walkable, which is part of the comprehensive plan, is to make sure that it's more walkable. So particularly the Derby Lane neighborhood has requested a sidewalk for their neighborhood in the past, but it hasn't gone anywhere. So this is as good a time as any to bring it to the village board that there should be a sidewalk connection somehow between Webster Avenue and Riverside so people can get down to the trail and that type of thing. And then also the apartment buildings on Riverside, they're going to need to be able to have at least some sort of sidewalk so that they can get over to Sunlight Park and down to the trail. Thanks.
Is there anyone else at this time? Okay. We'll move on. Item number six, action regarding petition from SKB Terrace, LLC, requesting conditional use permit approval for 2 9-unit apartment buildings on parcel AL-125-8, Zone Commercial District, located at 3241 and 3245 Riverside Drive, the former Town and Country Supper Club site.
This site might seem familiar.
This came before the Planning Commission last year for conditional use permit. It was approved. The project last year included a mixed-use development where the owner-occupied residence above and a commercial office suite below. Because of different market forces, it's resulted in a change in development plans to strictly apartment buildings. What's being proposed is two nine-unit apartment buildings. Any layout modifications, that sort of thing, could be discussed, but those will all be dealt with or specifically mentioned in site plan and design review later on. The developer anticipates applying for a site plan review in the spring sometime. Some of the conditions of the approval are included in the memo. We do have the developer here tonight for any questions.
Have questions?
Yeah, I got a quick question on exhibit number two within the exhibit number six, the amendment to vacant land offer to purchase. So that was effective last month? That was changed last month, is that right, Brad?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. When was the, just to refresh my memory, when was the original deadline to have the certificate of occupancy? This amends it to 2021, which is fine. I'm just curious as to...
The original agreement was signed on January 7th, 2019.
Okay.
And it gave them 12 years to start... 12 months. 12 months to start construction, and then 12 months after that to have occupancy.
Got it. Okay.
Do you know if the rate, like the... rent range and the rate, because we're looking to bring more affordable apartments. Are they looking to be high-end apartments, or is this something that's going to be more in the moderate to affordable range? Because I think we need to encourage more, you know, we've gotten a lot of high-end expensive apartments along the river. I think we need to bring in more family-friendly, working-class, you know, units, and I just wondered if what the this looks like it's going to be.
The developer does know, and she has mentioned it to me, but I'm sorry, I forget right now, but you can certainly ask her.
Sure. Can we ask Karen to come on?
Karen, yeah.
Hi. I'm Karen Clausen, and I own SKB Management, and also SKB Terrace LLC. And this is going to be a higher end apartment community. And the reason for that is there is a need for, in Alloway, higher luxury apartment homes. SKB Management currently manage Del Rio apartments, Villa Andalusia apartments, and we've been managing it for many, many years. And there's affordable housing in Alloway, but there is a lack of high-end housing. And so that is what the plan for the 18 units is, like a boutique high-end luxury, you know, two-bedroom, two-bath, fireplace, attached garage. Really nice. We have another property in Appleton that's now 2 years old. We have a waiting list nonstop for this community because it's really, really desirable and almost like condo living, only it's apartments. And this is going to be modeled after that community.
Last we heard, there was going to be your offices in a couple of the apartments that has that plan has changed as well.
Yes, the office will not be there. There will be 18 apartments.
Just apartments?
Yes. 2 1-bedrooms and 2 1-bedrooms and
16.
Do you remember what the conditions were when the first conditional use was approved? What conditions we had on the development? Did the Planning Commission apply any extra? I don't remember.
No, I don't believe so.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cut and dry last time. Are you going to put a sidewalk in?
I'm not aware of any requirements for a sidewalk.
Or there's one existing there.
I
don't think there. I think it ends though, doesn't it?
Yeah, I feel like it ends before St. Mary's, maybe.
Right.
I don't remember.
Right.
Because I don't think it goes in front of like where the eye doctor building is, which is next door. I don't think it's there.
Right.
Nope, go ahead.
You mentioned attached garages. Are they going to be underneath?
Yes.
Like the four
yes,
that you
like
have
the
of your
yes.
units in Appleton. So they'll be, and they'll be.
People love that because you can just drive right into your garage and then you enter the building from your garage. You don't have to be outside at all.
That's the best way. That's what I'd want. And the buildings are going to be set kind of on an angle, at least if I'm looking at the drawing correctly, so that as you drive by the streetscape looking towards the property, you wouldn't have a head-on view of the garages.
No.
If it's actually going to be, you know, because it shows them, you know, on an angle. This is pretty much your working plan now? I mean, this is pretty much what...
Yes. I've got the architect finishing up the plans. Mm-hmm. I've got a builder all ready to go for
And it's based off of the design that we see here? I mean, pretty much that.
Yeah, Mount is what just did that layout.
The footprint of the buildings
yes.
and the way they're positioned.
So is there room for a sidewalk when the village decides to put a sidewalk on Riverside Drive? Will there be room or... will the building like be abut up to it? You know, I mean, is there going to be enough room that if they need to, even if the village like needs to purchase property to put the sidewalk in, is the building going to be sitting right there? Is the building set back far enough that there's room for a sidewalk when one comes down that street? Does it look like there'd be enough to go? You know. To put one in, even if it's like at the back on the property, the back side, you know. So we aren't going to run into it. We can't put it here because the building got put in and it's too close to the street.
What's being proposed in this site plan, and again, we'll have more detailed site plans for this during the site plan review, but I believe that's 30 feet right there.
Okay. So then there'd be enough room that, you know, if in some point in the future. There'd be room to put a sidewalk through there because at this point, you know, there's not on this other smaller piece of property to put one just in front of here and then not do it all the way to the corner. I mean, I know we need to start somewhere, and there's the theory of just put it in even though it doesn't connect, but it also, yeah, I don't, you know, it's really hard to know in this situation. You know, do you... make them put it in and then the other side don't connect for 15 years? Or
yeah, and then one's all beat up.
Wait, or do you wait and just make sure that there's enough room when you want to do it to put it all there?
I think making sure there's enough room is a very good idea.
The future is better just to, you know, to have that possibility.
So the design is going to come back to us, right? Or to this commission. So for right now, we're just talking about the conditional use as far as the use goes. Okay, I'm good.
Yeah. And which street is direct across the street from the property because you're going to have people from those apartment buildings trying to access the Fox River Trail, is that they can just like walk across the street there and go to the, is that like Sunset Circle or which
it's,
one?
Yeah, from Stambo you can go to Sunset.
Okay, so
Park,
then you can get back.
Along the river,
okay,
access
so then,
the trail.
Okay, okay. Some people could just cross there,
yeah,
even if there's not a sidewalk from the apartment
yep
building. Just cross the street there and get onto Stanwell, which is a small
yep
street. Okay, good.
Have any other questions for Karen?
Looks like a good plan.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay, there's a motion. Is there a second?
Okay. I'll second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 You.
Okay, we're good. Item number 7, action regarding petition from GB Real Estate Investments requesting site plan and design review for a new commercial building at 1324 South Webster Avenue, northwest corner of Derby Lane and Webster Avenue.
So as shown in your packet, this being proposed is approximately 5,600 square foot commercial daycare facility. The proposed daycare facility currently is currently operates across the street on Webster Avenue and some of those smaller commercial buildings near McCormick Street. So the plan is to develop on part of the vacant site here. There are some known environmental issues that are being discussed right now. They seem relatively minor at the moment. Phase 2 report has not been finalized, though we do know some of the what some of the initial boardings showed. According to the site plan, they will have a shared access with a future development on off of Derby, as well as a access off of Webster Avenue. They're also proposing shared dumpster facilities for any future development here. I will point out that there was a small change in the plans that you received. They are changing the layout of the stormwater pond slightly, just to accommodate any future development on the remaining piece of land. No concrete plans on what the future development could be. The whole property is zoned commercial. Right now, they're discussing either a office building or a low residential development. The developer is here tonight to answer any questions. The developer also had a public neighborhood meeting back in October. They met at the current facility on Webster. I attended that meeting, and there were quite a few neighbors that showed up, and they had a lot of questions, some of which we were able to answer, some of which still are somewhat unknown. And maybe upside of this decision tonight, but still relevant and related issues such as the sidewalk on Derby Lane, the intersection of Derby Garland and Webster Avenue is a known concern. But with Webster Avenue being a county road, we have been discussing with the county different alternatives for addressing concerns at that intersection, but none of that will likely happen within the next year or so. Like I said, the developer is here tonight, as well as the business owner. Do you have any questions?
I guess if the business owner or Garrett, if either of you have anything you want to add.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. Happy Monday. Garrett Bader, GB Real Estate Investments. Trevor stole most of my thunder. He nailed it. But just a few follow-up items I will note. The driveway is being proposed to Webster's. Envision as a future right in, right out, assuming that there will be some intersection modification at Garland at some point. Hence why the full access cut under Derby is shown and as requested. But it will be shared by both parties. The stormwater pond will also be shared by both parties, as shown. And other than that, we also have Dan Marotti, the architect, is here in the audience tonight. If there are any questions on building layout, we're happy to answer. I'll defer to Robert Priest, one of the co-owners of the daycare, to talk a little bit about what the relocation would mean for them.
Thank you, Jared. My name is Robert Priest. I own Yorma Sunshine Daycare with my wife. She opened it back in 2012 out of our house, and then she found this property that we're currently in on 1309 South Webster and took occupancy December of 2014. Since then, we moved into 1303, 1301. We gave back 1301. We're in 1303 and 1309 right now. We find ourselves just running a business in a great location, a great clientele base. We just don't really have a great facility for it. So what we're looking to do is improve the safety, the quality of our care in the new building, a new play facility. We're currently facing Webster. We have a four-foot fence that prevents the children from Webster, but they're often throwing balls right into the street and traffic at 3:30 in the afternoon. It's not a good idea. We also slow down traffic as well because of our location, our parking lot situation. We don't have the ability for a bus to turn in. So in the morning and in the afternoon, thank you, we slow down traffic for about 5 to 10 minutes here and there, so it's a little bit of a bothersome for the neighbors. And one big benefit would be that the bus would be able to pull in to our lot in our facility, providing a safer drop-off scenario for the kids, as well as just not providing an extra headache for the neighbors. So, we'd be really excited to move into this new location. We're currently renting. We've spent about $185,000 since 2014 in rent and in improvements to the site. We don't get anything out of that, and we'd like to move into something that would make more sense for the business and for our future and for the community.
How many children do you have in your center?
We currently have 74, and our capacity is at 57. So 74 total and 57 at any given time. We've since scaled that back a little bit because we gave back 1301. We just found that the space was previously Panache Salon, if anybody's familiar. It's really awkward for a daycare. It didn't really fit our business very well. So we did some renovating. We upgraded it and then ended up giving it back. So right now we're fitting in our group and we're rotating out because we're in the school year. So we're looking forward to being able to get back to our 57 after, if we were able to complete this, the start of next school year.
So basically, when does the traffic occur?
That's a great question. Our heaviest traffic is probably about 7 a.m. to 7:45. It dies down a little bit, but our heaviest is about 10 to 15 cars at a time. We employ 9 other people, so we'll have their cars there as well. And then our vehicle is our center vehicle. And then parents picking up and dropping off in the morning, about 10 to 15 cars at a time. And in the afternoon, 4:15 to 4:45, 5 o'clock, another heavy round, where it's about 10 to 15 cars. Otherwise, it's about 5 cars or less at a time. So, and then they're there for about 10 to 15 minutes in the afternoon, a little bit less in the morning because they're, like, rushing off to work. So most of them come in and, push their kids away. And then in the afternoon, they want to stick around and see how everything was. So maybe a little bit longer. And then otherwise, we try to do a staff meeting after hours 9 times a year. So that would be, one Tuesday or Thursday night every other month, roughly, or every month. And then we do family events. So there would be some opportunity that on a weekend or a weeknight, 3-4 times a year, we might have an event, but really our traffic would be Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., and then 4 to 5.
And I think for traffic flow, those would be important.
Yeah.
The other ones would matter.
And we are open at 6:30. We close at 5:30 currently. And most of our traffic is really just when I highlighted 6:30 in the morning. It's pretty empty as well.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Could you address the traffic issue in your proposal location? How does it change? You're talking about times with 10 or 15 cars,
yeah,
and neighbors,
yeah, so,
having to be kind of slow down a little, and you know, how does it? It must improve.
It improves. Are you able to pull up where we're currently at 1309? Yeah, that'd be great.
So our current lot is really, really small, and the main entry to our building lines up right here, and unfortunately it's an outdoor set of stairs that comes from a dilapidated parking lot that's crumbling and falling apart. The bus pulls up right here, and it stops to get kids off, and then it'll stop and just stay for a few minutes if they have other issues with other kids. So it holds up traffic behind here. So what we see a lot of times, one big traffic issue is that traffic coming south on Webster trying to turn onto McCormick can sometimes be backed up, as well as myself when I'm transporting kids from Aldo Leopold. And then traffic turning right off of Webster heading north, they face that same problem, whereas if the traffic was coming back this way and the bus turned in the parking lot here, and we had their dwell time sitting for 5 minutes on site rather than on road, we would be less of a headache there. Does that answer that?
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you.
It was
so for your buses in the new layout, they can just pull right in.
Yeah, they would be able to pull right in through the entrance on Webster or on Derby if that's the lane that they took, and then they'd be able to pull out through Derby and then access right back to Webster or down to Riverside. And we service Aldo, Leopold, and Langley Elementary ourselves, and then we have busing from Webster, but then the school district will bus any kid in 4K in those schools, so we'll automatically have those buses as well.
Do you own the entire property?
That's the unfortunate part. We don't. We tried to own it. The landlord said no at the time. And then
do you own?
We only own the business.
You own the business.
And we've rented the entire commercial space out at one point.
Okay.
We've since given it back, but there's a lot of maintenance to be done there. We've done a lot. There's a lot of mold remediation. There's water damage on the salon side of it. It's not something that we want to continue with.
So there's a part of the parcel that's for future development. Is that anything that you have any...
Personal interest,
anything to do with, or is it just...
No, that actually, I defer back to Garrett. That'd be his future project on ours. Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No,
but do we want to hear from Garrett again?
Yeah, I
think so. I'm happy to answer any other questions that folks may have also.
Sure. So I guess, you know, obviously we're not reviewing that part today, but like the future development, like what potentially, you know, Trevor alluded to, you know, maybe a business or a low-rise apartment or something.
Likely two scenarios, either a smaller commercial office building, something of 3,000 to 4,000 square feet, or a residential, think townhome style development. One of the biggest limiting factors on the site is what can you park, both in terms of customers and in terms of residents. So anything up there will not be of great scale or density.
Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe this is also a question for the daycare then also. Would there be, depending on what, I guess, the
I'm
other...
Yeah,
sorry.
I did.
Depending... Oh, sure. Depending on, I guess, like what goes on the other side of the property, would the daycare facility be fenced then also?
Yeah. So on the left side of that building, on the west side... There, yeah, exactly where he's highlighting.
Okay.
There's a fenced-in area that really contains two separate play areas for our children, broken up in two different age groups, and that goes all the way to about, I don't know, the 55% of the property as you go east to west.
Okay, just so there's separation of if it is like a business, then there's...
And then there's also a trash facility, the receptacle right there in the middle, with a drive that would separate both as well.
Correct. So there actually would be a separated area for outdoor play area for the children. However, between the properties itself on the west side of that drywall, there'd be likely a berm or some sort of landscaping divider that visually separates the sites.
Okay. Yeah.
More questions.
Sure. Is there anyone from the public who wants to come forward and speak on this item? Okay. Can I have a motion to suspend the rules?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. You can come forward. Just state your name and address. Questions or comments? Sure.
I'm Lynn Stahl, and I own the Lorelei right down the street. My concern is we already have a big traffic flow that's really difficult on Webster Avenue right there. They come through our parking lot going the wrong way, and then they hit Alloway Terrace and go up. So now if they're going to be coming off Derby, are they going to be coming down and around and hitting Alloway Terrace again as a horseshoe to get back onto Webster? It's already a very narrow street right there, and the traffic flow is very difficult for us. And I think, you know, right there, I see Quick Trip every morning. I see the traffic that's flowed there. I see just a lot of cars stopping and slowing down. I see a lot of people crossing, walking their dogs. I just have a concern about the traffic flow and how it's going to go for the one-way street off Derby. Are they going to come down Alloway Terrace and have more congestion to our space then also? Where we already, you know, we've tried to stop the traffic from coming into our parking lot and, you know, keep them off Alloway, but it's impossible. We probably have 30 cars going through there on a daily basis just turning around.
And then for the time of their operation, would that really be impacting the time of your business?
Oh, definitely on Thursdays, Fridays.
Get
a lot of deliveries.
Oh, okay.
And things like that during the week. Yes. I'm just concerned because Derby's a one-way street. And every year I know we find that we have that obstacle on October
4th. I don't think it's a one-way street.
It's not one-way?
No.
It's well, it's tight.
Yeah, it's narrow.
It's narrow.
Yeah.
It's very narrow. Them. And we, you know, they're going to eventually go down and around and come back up Alloway Terrace, which is very narrow. And any cars parking, it makes it a real cluster in those areas. That would be my biggest concern, is how are we going to address the traffic flow that goes with this when we already got Webster Avenue as one of the busiest streets in Green Bay. For me. So that's what I have to say. I'm not against business, believe me. I've got several businesses of my own. I have no problem with business, but I have the traffic flow in my hair that I just think it's going to be very congested and very hard to make that work for us, for everybody. So.
Sure.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Trevor, when I went to the public meeting and you were there and said that there are there plans for Webster for traffic? Or I guess.
Yeah, and I don't know if maybe Paul, you want to speak first.
I can wait. Yes.
Okay.
As long as you guys talk a little longer.
So yeah, what was shared at the neighborhood meeting is a couple different scenarios that are being discussed right now. I think the leading scenario is to extend this curb on Webster here, so making essentially Garland Avenue or Garland Street right in, right out, and then as was mentioned earlier, this driveway access on Webster Avenue right in, right out as well. So that would at least eliminate one leg of this intersection. It wouldn't necessarily address Lynn Stahl's concerns, because I believe she was concerned that someone would come down on Jackson and through Alligator Terrace. I'm not quite sure how to limit that. That would be something our public works could discuss. But again, this is Webster Avenue is a county road, so any improvements done on Webster Avenue have to have county approval first. And we have been discussing different scenarios with them even before this development has taken place. So it is something that we're cognizant of and that we're trying to work towards a good solution towards, but. It's hard when it's on our road.
Mm-hmm. Trevor, do you have any indication that they're going to have issues granting ingress egress off of Webster right next to Derby, the way the plans show?
I believe they submitted, maybe I was speaking out of term, or I believe they submitted already to the County Highway Department for curb cut. You know, period, or?
So I thought we'd do it.
Okay.
So no
idea whether. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something, but Derby Lane is wider than most of the other streets that we're talking about. The bus. I don't know. If I was a bus driver, I'd want to get back on the widest street that I need to get wherever I'm going next, and it wouldn't be going back around the block and coming down Alloway Terrace. Or I'd simply just want to get back out of. Off that property and back onto Webster. So why wouldn't I just turn and go that way instead of making a loop around through a neighborhood whose streets, that's the Robinson Hill District, and a lot of those streets are quite narrow. And there's cars parked sometimes. And I don't know, it's just, maybe I'm naive, but I think that the drivers would choose to take the shortest route, which is just turn around and go back onto Webster.
I would tend to agree. That's why I was kind of asking the question about the ingress egress off Webster, because I think if you can get the plans the way they are, it would just be easiest to loop through the parking lot and come right back out. But if for some reason they don't get that granted, they might only have one way in and out.
Yeah, because I use Derby. I mean, Derby Lane is the wide street and the cut through from Webster down to Riverside Drive. And I use that in the morning to get down to go downtown to work. I use it on my bike too. And then the question is, will there be room along that parking lot for when the sidewalk that's planned, that's in the comprehensive plan for Derby Lane, gets put in? Will there be room for it? So just to make sure that when they're setting the parking lot in, you know, that there's space for snow storage and not having the sidewalk right on the street, but having snow storage and sidewalk and then the parking.
It hasn't been decided what side of the road the sidewalk would go on, although I think the planning department favors the north side.
Yeah.
But that's still not determined by the engineer. That will ultimately be determined by Public Works Department. But in any scenario, there is enough right-of-way in that area already to provide for a sidewalk with enough carriage for snow storage.
Good. That does.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Paul Selesky. My wife and I, Dawn, we've been at 1411 South Webster Avenue across from the Lorelei for about 30 years. So we've, every single day we're there, sometimes every single day of the week. So we've had a chance to see how, the traffic has grown over the years. And I think maybe before I forget too, the sidewalk issue, if it goes on the north side of the road, there's a small right-of-way there. Snow removal is probably going to be an issue, keeping the sidewalks clear. So with any development, I think, snow removal has to always be taken into consideration on the site plan. We're in the building business. We do land development. We've done similar type projects around the area, Door County, Green Bay area. So we've always kind of tried to keep into consideration traffic. If you have recently studied the traffic like we have, the restaurant on the corner, some evenings you've taken your life in your own hands, especially now with the impact of the Quick Trip or the tobacco outlet. Now there's going to be a brewery coming in across from the Flowerland place, Traders. So there's going to be a lot of future traffic in a very short period of time. Derby Lane gets used a lot. We're talking a lot. So if I'm downtown coming through Riverside Drive and I want to come up Derby Lane, there'll be times when it's really difficult to get across the street. And I think I've heard some of you say this already. So Trevor's mentioned the county is involved with it being a county trunk as well. I think until maybe there's some direction on how they're going to flow the traffic to try to make it safer, I think you should probably reconsider putting this project for an approval until you know exactly how the traffic is going to be managed. Because I think there's going to be some serious accidents. And I'm just here for safety. I think the proprietor is a great guy. They do a great job. They've got a good going business. They're not going to lose any money in the interim. I think the waiting game would be a very smart thing to do. That's basically all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sure, come forward.
I'm Richard Wilson. I live at 1315 South Van Buren, which is right behind that property. I've been there for 40 years. The biggest traffic problem that we've got there, the biggest thing that has affected it is the Quick Trip, the tobacco outlet. That has been a mess for traffic there. I don't use Derby if I can avoid it. If I'm going south on Webster, I go out Derby and go south. If I want to go north into town, I'll wiggle up through Jackson because I'm already north of Derby, or over to Riverside and up. Unless it's Sunday morning, I don't even try to make a left turn onto Webster. The other thing is that looking at the alternatives, this property is going to get developed at some point. Somebody's going to go in there and put something in there. And this project sounds like it will generate much less traffic than something like Quick Trip. One time there were four, that's before my time, there were four gas stations on that corner. I never saw that. That's years and years ago. You don't want to see that again for traffic purposes. From my standpoint, looking out my back door, my back windows, I'd rather see this than an awful lot of other projects. This actually is a very nice project from my standpoint. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wants to speak on this matter? No? Okay, is there a motion to pick the rules up?
So moved.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay.
Would it be shared parking if the other part of the other parcel is developed? Is that parking lot, would that be shared? And Garrett, maybe you're the one that can answer that.
There'd be additional parking for the next.
There'd have to be additional parking.
There'll be cross access and cross easement between the parcels so they can share the HDM.
Okay.
I know there's been a lot of discussion about traffic, and I guess I'm wondering how the traffic would be different than it currently is. I mean, the buses still come to the existing locations, and the cars that come drop them off, and they use Webster and the other streets. So why are we envisioning a worse traffic issue with a new building that seems to be a step forward in terms of proper facility for children, and safety, and utilization of an empty lot that, I don't know, I'm just...
The lot, and I have to say, I've thought of the same thing. Something's going to go there.
Yeah.
And something's going to cause traffic problems.
Yeah. And we have something here that, as the gentleman said, may create less of a problem than something that's five stories or another gas station.
And it's limited time that the problem would exist, hours of the day.
Yeah, and considering the current, you know, facility and the site sort of troubles and challenges it has with buses parking on the street is more of a problem, it seems like. So.
I'm Dawn Selesky. I don't know if I'm supposed to come up, but
just
I think
go.
Just
go with it.
Thank you. I think I missed the window, but I think just to reiterate what we were saying, it's not so much that we're more so worried about that intersection with the gas station right there. And if you do have where you have those bubbles of time where you're going to have 15 cars pulling out, or however many families there are at one time from 6:45 to 7:30 and 4:30 to 5, those congested time frames. And maybe this is more just put on the town and with what Trevor was saying with that intersection. Because if you sit there and you try to cross, the traffic is crisscrossing because of the entrance where the gas station is. I mean, we see it all of the time. I don't come out that way. I come out on Hastings because people are crossing constantly, zipping in, zipping out, and crossing where they're not supposed to. And if you throw in that plus 15 cars at one time, and then in the evening hours when you do have busier time, I mean, Webster is going at that hour as well, strongly. So there has to be something figured out. And I agree, there's going to have to be something that's going there. That's not the point that we're trying to make. The point is trying to figure out what can be done, because the tobacco outlet is there, and we do have a lot of congestion already between the restaurant and the gas station. Now you're throwing something with the daycare, and not even, we don't know what the residential situation is behind that with those cars. So if there's, I missed how many units those are, but if there's two cars per unit, and they're coming and going to work as well. So something has to be done, because it's bad now. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
What is the timeline, Trevor, for the county on fixing the in it, they're putting something in there? I mean, what are they looking at?
They haven't really given us a date yet. We hope to have it done prior to what they have scheduled, which is they plan to rehab portions of Webster in 2023. So again, we had discussions with them in trying to do a fix sooner, and that's one of the reasons why I believe the median is a favored solution, because of the, I guess, the ease of putting that in. There's not a lot of tearing up of the road or anything like that to have occur. So, but then it also, like I said earlier, it does eliminate one of the legs of the intersection. So to answer your question, I guess I don't have an exact date.
Trevor, if they put something in there, you know, to limit the traffic flow or the turning, would they do that before they rebuild? I mean, could they do that prior to the rebuilding of the street? Is it something we could do a temporary kind of?
That I'm not sure. I think, yes, they could.
But wouldn't they?
Yeah. This section of Webster is located within our 5th district, which that would be an eligible expense. So I would imagine that they would say, I'm just Assuming the county will say yes, you could do it prior to the rehab project, but
you can pay
at your expense, yes.
I don't see any reason to make this project wait on something like that, because, like you said, that this is traffic that's, you know, they already have their customers coming out the next street over. And I know that there's a timeline. I went to the public meeting. I know that that they're looking to get it done before the school lets out. Or, I mean, there's a timeline for them, for their business. So I don't see a real reason to delay it, waiting on the county to do something. That's something that, to me, would not make sense.
I agree. I don't think we should make decisions based on expecting the county to do anything in the relevant future, you know. And I think this is a good project, and I'm in favor of it as it stands, and we'll deal with traffic is what it is. We'll deal with it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it's a commercially zoned property, that this is a use that can be, that is allowed within that commercial district. The traffic problem is something that we'll have to address separately. Looking at the site plan, it's really hard to determine whether or not anything can be done to alleviate the amount of traffic that's going to come out of Derby or Webster. So as the property owner, the site's commercially zoned. This is the right use. I'd definitely like to see the consolidation into one building for all the daycares versus all the separate houses. It seems like that side of Webster is starting to turn into every house is a daycare. So it's nice to see a nice consolidation of that. So I think that's neat. So I'm cool with it.
I like it.
I agree.
All right. So someone have a motion?
Could I make one comment, maybe one suggestion?
Sure.
Maybe part of the recommendation could include recommending to the board to have the Public Works Committee look at this issue a little further. I know, it's a county issue, or county road, but maybe the Public Works Committee could have a formal recommendation to the County Highway Department.
I'll make a motion to approve with the recommendation from the Plan Commission to the Public Works Department to review the site plan and possibly lobby the county to make the necessary changes to Webster Avenue for curb cut purposes.
Okay.
Did you get all that, Trevor?
It's recording. Hopefully.
If you turned it on.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Item number 8, action regarding amendment to Article 3, District Regulations of Chapter 475 of the Village Ordinances, Side Yards, A Residential Districts.
All right, so as stated in the memo, this is a change that, frankly, we have a property owner looking to build a home. And with what was proposed last month, the initial public draft of the zoning code, we are proposing eliminating this specific section of the ordinance. So this is just doing a portion of the what we're already recommending ahead of time, just to allow for residential development to continue.
Got that?
Got it.
I do too, actually.
Okay, so you're allowing for more encroachment into the setback, into the side.
Right. Yeah, so
okay, that's
if
good.
You have an over 60-foot wide house, you're stuck with a 10-foot wide setback.
Yeah, okay. Being on the being on the Board of Appeals lately, we've been getting a lot of people wanting to invest in their homes in our traditional neighborhoods with the narrower lots, and it's been a real challenge because we want to see that infill development and people reinvesting in their homes, but there's so many different lot widths you can pick in the Village Valley. It's crazy. So anything that we can do on the ordinance side to help and to not have all these people have to go to the Board of Appeals would be great.
I like it.
Yeah, I'm good.
I'll move to approve.
Okay, there's a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Item number 9, action regarding housing reports. 9A is the housing affordability report.
Yes, and I didn't attach this in the packet because I just finished it up this afternoon. But really, the only action I'm actually really not looking for any action from you tonight, just maybe accepting place on file. This is a report that was required by the state for us to do. This, as well as the 9B, actually incorporated in this report is 9B. So I'll just run through the report real quick. Again, the purpose of the report was as a result of Act 243 in 2017, and what's required of us I listed in your memo, so I'm not going to go through that. In the report, I briefly summarized what our section of the housing, or what the housing section of the comprehensive plan states as goals and objectives for housing development. Essentially, traditional neighborhood development is what they call for. And as discussed, and as I know everyone here is aware, traditional neighborhood development promotes walkability, promotes mixed up housing types, which allows for different affordability and different groups to live and stay and age in place in the community. So those are all concepts that we're striving for and that we're also trying to incorporate in our new zoning code. So part of the requirements was to review our residential planning and building permit activity in 2018. I gotta say, frankly, I think this whole report was kind of a joke because I did spend a good deal of time on this, but this was a requirement for any municipality over 10,000 people to reduce time and cost for developers. For a community like Alloway, we had in 2018 we had two single or duplexes approved. Those were the Old River condominiums. I'm not trying to discredit any work that we've done in development, but compared to other communities, this is not a lot. We also had a 9-unit and a 12-unit apartment buildings, the Chapel Hill apartment buildings permitted. So they had us break down what the permit fees were to try and, again, alleviate costs to the developer. And so for new residential, for the 23 units, the Twindo units and then the 21 apartment units, essentially the building permit fees, including erosion control measures, were $13,000. Sewer connection and stormwater equaled $4,200. State seal that new residential homes need only for a single or two family was $43 for a total of $17,000. So $751 roughly a unit. If you break that down, that might seem like a large number, but really if you break it down to what the actual developments cost, the 12 unit, the 9 unit, and then those Twindos, just north of $2.5 million. So the building permit fees equate to 0.5% of the total construction cost. And again, these building permit fees are not set to really for the village to make money, but to cover costs of time and material. So another component of the plan was to map out all vacant or vacant and undeveloped parcels, residential parcels. So I went ahead and did that, and that's shown here in this map. There was a total of 57 parcels, equaling 63 acres of land, that are zoned residential and are not developed. And the state statutes did not define what residential development or undeveloped parcels were. So for the sake of this report, I defined them as undeveloped parcels as parcels without a primary or principal structure on them. And then residential included any level of residential, so A, B, or high density. I did not include commercial. They could, because that wasn't zoned by right, they need a conditional use permit in order to have residential development on those sites. So of those 57 parcels, 17 of them are the condo sites across the street from here. So those are already kind of tied up in a condominium development. That's about 7.1 acres. Yeah, thanks, Brett. Another large parcel is owned by the DNR. That's this one here. It's not showing up on the map. But that's about 13 acres. And then 24 of those 57 are severely impacted by either floodplain, wetlands. They're owned by adjoining property owners, which is quite common here in the village. Or they have some sort of environmental impact, or they don't have developed access, essentially. So that leaves us with 15 parcels, one of which was seeking, or is hoping to develop this spring on River Lane. 15 parcels with a total of 27 acres. About 19 of those acres is the Town and Country driving range site there. So,
Trevor, is that the site across from where Karen's going to develop?
Yes. So, those are the residential undeveloped parcels. The identified suitable sites for residential, so the sites that might be commercial. I just basically included all the ones that were mentioned in the 2015 Riverside Drive and Riverside Report study. And then an analysis of the development regulations. Again, the state asked us to come up with a solution to save up to 20% time and cost. When half a percent of the cost is related to us, and
you used it to write 3%.
So it was. I did my best, basically, I concluded that it's not feasible for the village to cut 20% cost. There's also a lot of external influences that are out of our control. High land cost per acre is a big one. High development costs. You know, greenfield sites have the cost of bringing infrastructure and roads and utilities, which infill sites might not have, but infill sites also have other challenges, such as a lot of times environmental issues or demolition, which then offset those cost savings. There's also state and federal mandates, such as stormwater management, utility construction, building codes, all things that, you know, are meant to promote safety and protection of neighboring properties and the environment, which are good things, but there are also things that are out of our control that also increase costs in time of development. A developer mentioned to me that they had been in the process or in the industry for like 30 or 40 years and used to be able to have an architect and an engineer draft up something and make it approved immediately. Now with all the different regulations, which again are a good thing, and I'm not trying to discredit those, But it will take six to nine months to draft something up to even get to this point. And the costs then are, of course, go up with that, too. So, and then there's, obviously, we hear this one all the time, the high construction costs. And that's just something that we can't avoid. There's different natural disasters, trade agreements that are kind of in flux, and then labor shortages in the construction trades that all kind of drive construction costs up. So, again, it's kind of my summary. I did go through some things that we are doing to help promote development in the village, because I do know development is competitive among municipalities. And so things like our zoning code, which will streamline development time, at least the amount of time that a developer has to spend in the village hall, hopefully, because our desires and standards are addressed ahead of time, and then the processes then can be streamlined. Site improvement requirements mentioned that we do have regional stormwater ponds that help alleviate some of the stormwater requirements that developers can face. We don't have impact fees like other communities do. We do assist with different developments. Usually it's kind of a trade-off scenario. And then our permit procedures. In 2015, we hired a building inspector, which has cut times for building inspections. We used to contract with a building inspection company, and they were only here two times a week. So now we have someone here part-time, but they're here 5 days a week that they can look at different projects. We also, as far as permit procedures, in 2015, we also did an online permitting process. So that allows a developer to fill out a permit and request an inspection online without having to drive down here and stop in the building. So there are different things that we're trying to do within our means, but again, there's a lot of external things that we can control. And I understand what the state might have been after. Not naive, I believe that there are probably few municipalities in the state that might kind of drag their feet with development or something along those lines. But a lot of times those are things in growing municipalities where they have a lot of greenfield development that they can have the efficiencies to of a large project to save costs. So, thanks for letting me rehearse all this. This is really has to get approved by the village board tomorrow night. So I just wanted to relay all the information to you and give you a test run. So
I think you should emphasize that I think the zoning code will make a difference in time.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
And it also addressed a lot of, it gives a lot more flexibility to the properties that are in the loan.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Good job.
Thanks.
It was probably painful.
It sounds painful. Yeah.
Thank you for your service.
Okay, so do you just want us to? Do we need to make a motion to accept it, or just?
You don't need to accept it based on problems.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, item number 10: report discussion regarding village projects and property updates.
Brad has a couple, but the only one I was going to mention is if you drive by the Zambaldi site, you notice a lot of progress. They did have a minor delay with state review from the sprinkler system, but that has all been addressed. They're still looking, knock on wood, to open in February. So.
Did they find a restaurant yet to run?
They are still working on that one. I spoke with them. They do seem to have leads, although I don't know.
Okay.
Just a few other additional updates. About a week or so ago, the Parks Department, or the village, was in receipt of a $6,000 grant from the backers to construct the pickleball court or to go towards the construction of pickleball courts. And they're looking at Kiwanis Park as that area. The street department is finishing up the plans for street repaving for next year. They're going to get those out for bid in January, so hopefully we'll get a good price. Again, those are resurfacing, not reconstruction. Street department also, or the village, received a $50,000-plus LRIP grant, local road improvement, and that'll go towards one of the street projects for next year. And we did submit a project under the MLS grant. I don't know if that was described earlier, but the federal government has allocated money for the states for local towns, villages, and cities. So it's a very competitive grant. It's an 80% funding. And we submitted... We submitted a project to complete Green Avenue. So it would be a reconstruction of Green Avenue from Libel Street to Greenell Park with sidewalks on one side, and it'll connect you all the way up to Heritage Hill. And within that project, we'd asked or submitted a rapid flashing beacon at Heritage Hill site. We had nice support from Representative Steffen, letter of recommendation, Heritage Hill, DNR, Heritage Hill Foundation, and Brown County Planning Commission.
Wow.
So it's a very good project, fingers crossed. It's about a $1.6 million project. And if we get 90% of the funding, it'll be a nice tie-in to the east-west connection.
That's good. Awesome. That was also item number 11.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Item number 12, next meeting date and future agenda items. That's fine. Just efficient.
Do you have an annual report on the agenda? And then likely in January we're going to try for a zoning code open house, potentially? If not, we'll have an update for sure.
Did they finish with De Pierce yet? Or did they fall behind us, the code of metrics? And
they did fall behind, yes.
Okay, I was just curious.
They actually had some staffing change, too, that I think will further delay them.
I was just curious if they had any public forums or anything on theirs yet, but if they're not there yet, so... Okay. What's the next January
27th?
January 27th. Okay.
Just to let you know, Trevor, I will be in Florida for the month.
You're not going to come back?
I think I'll be in Florida as well. And Becky, where are you going to be? Maybe I'll meet you.
Okay. It's my sister's birthday. You can come to her party. in Zephyr Hill.
All right. Item number 13 adjourned. Is there a motion?
So moved.
There's this.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you very much. I'll meet you.
I work with you. One of my colleagues at work, he had three kids, I think, in his life.